Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing this morning? Pretty good? Good, good. Today is the 10th Sunday after the Pentecost that we get to celebrate today. And what we'll be looking at today is how God is our greatest treasure in this life and how we can honor Him and make Him the greatest treasure in our day-to-day lives as well. You'll see that reflected throughout the hymns and the readings and the prayers and all of it. A big welcome to all of our visitors today. Any visitors, if you have any questions about anything, feel free to ask anybody around you. We're a pretty friendly bunch. This morning we'll begin our worship with hymn number 241. May God bless your worship this morning.
Thank you.
Please stand.
Oh Lord, open my lips. Hasten to save me, O God.
O Lord, come quickly to help me.
Give glory to God, our light and our life.
Now, O come, let us worship.
Join together in the Psalm of the day, Psalm 119b. You may be seated.
Thank you.
The first lesson this morning comes from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 12. Here, Solomon seeks spiritual, heavenly treasure, and God blesses him for it. From 1 Kings chapter 3. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be." The word of the Lord. The second lesson comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 21. Here, Paul encourages Timothy to seek the treasure that comes at the end of the age. From 1 Timothy 6. "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and in so doing have wandered from the faith. Grace be with you." The word of the Lord. Please stand in honor of the words of Jesus. The gospel this morning comes from Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 52. This will also serve as our sermon text for today, from Matthew chapter 13. "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age.
The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." "Have you understood all these things?" Jesus asked. "Yes," they replied. He said to them, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." The gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and if there are any children who want to come up for the children's sermon, meet me up at the front steps up here. Go ahead and take a seat. You guys can come over here. Might be easier. All right. Very good. How's everybody doing today?
Good. I can't hear you. How you doing? Good. Good to hear. Your name? I'm sorry? Kylie. Hi, Kylie. I'm Pastor Groth. Nice to meet you. Can you be my volunteer for today? Can I volunteer you? Okay. You can sit down. I'll sit down next to you. Today, I've got some goodies in this bag. Really, most of them are my son's toys, but we'll get to that. But today I wanted to talk about, you know, how you and I, we have a lot of things in this life, right? God blesses us with so many things, it's great, right? So first of all, God blesses us with food, of course, right? Do I have any more food? I do. Blesses us with food. Can you hold that for me? All right, thank you. All right, God blesses us with pets sometimes. Okay, can you hold those for me? Thank you. All right. All right, God blesses us with fun toys, like not just this car, but like cars and other stuff that he provides us with. You can hold that for him. Thank you. All right, we've got leisure time, right? So a TV remote. Yeah, God blesses us with that. No, you got to hold them all. There you go. All right. God blesses us with some other goodies, right? Like electronics nowadays, technology. All right, here you go. Hold that. Thank you, Kylie. All right, God blesses us with work. This is representing work. Okay, so work, thank you for holding that. All right, very good. All right, for kids, you know, we've got school, right? That's really important to have school. Thank you, Kylie, appreciate that. Hold on 1 second. All right. God also blesses us with fun time, too, and like sports and different things that we can do for fun. So here's a baseball bat. Can you hold that for me, Kylie? Thank you very much. All right. And God also gives us the blessing of him and his word in this life. Uh-oh. Kylie, I don't know where to put this. What should we do? I really want you to hold. This is the most important thing after all. What should you do? Can you guys help her out? What should she do? Anybody know? I'll give you a hint. Drop it all. Yeah, drop it all. Get it on there. Yeah. There you go. See, if we have to, we have to give up everything so that we can hold on to God and his kingdom. That is the joy that you and I have because Jesus is the most important thing we have. The forgiveness that we have and the eternal life that we have, that's the most important thing. If we have to, we give up all of these blessings so that we can hold on to it. Let's pray and thank God for that. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for dying for our sins on the cross. We know, Lord, that that is the most important thing that we have in this life. Forgive us for the times when we don't think that. And thank you for the times that you guide us to take you first. Give us the strength to do that, Lord. Amen. All right, thanks, guys. Thank you, Kylie. Well done. All right, you guys can take a seat. We'll continue with the hymn of the day as I clean up here, hymn 421.
Thank you.
grace, mercy, and the kingdom are yours. From God our Father and through our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. The sermon text for today, as I said, comes from the gospel lesson of Matthew 13, yet again, which you've already heard read, so let us begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your value. Amen. This is kind of an embarrassing way to start a sermon. I know it's a little strange, but I was wondering, does anybody have change for a 20? All I would need is a $10 bill, a $5 bill, and 5 ones. I'll even take a $10 bill, a $5 bill, and another $5 bill. Any takers? Tell you what, if you give me change for a 20, I'll throw in 100. 500? No? All right, you caught me. It's just Monopoly money. Monopoly money is very useful when you're playing the game of Monopoly, right? But when the game is over, it has about as much value as a scrap of paper. Not much. Now, if I had asked for change for this 20, now it's probably a different story, isn't it? I'd probably get some takers there. See, this actually has real value. For you and me, that's Jesus. He is our real treasure. You and I know that, but there are times when you and I can let ourselves forget that fact. So Jesus is going to help us with that today by telling us three parables and an encouragement. He's going to show us that the kingdom of heaven is the most valuable thing we have. And it isn't even close. So each of the last two weeks, we did a parable each week. This week, we get three parables right in a row. And then also an encouragement at the end. The first two parables are very similar. And they're only two sentences long each. The first parable is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. The picture is simply of a treasure that some man stumbles across in some field. Why is there treasure in a field? That seems strange, doesn't it? Well, actually, back in Jesus' day, that was sort of common. Sometimes people would bury a treasure for safekeeping and keeping it secret so that burglars couldn't get it when they broke in. Other people would bury it in a field and keep it safe and secret so that if they went on a trip, it could be in a safe spot. Sometimes people would bury something that would be easy to transport, like jewels, like a bag of jewels, so that if there was an enemy army coming and it threatened their city, they could quick go dig it up and take it and run. So whatever the case may be, there is this treasure hidden in this field, and apparently the person who buried it has passed away. And they didn't tell anybody about its whereabouts. So legally, it belongs to whoever owns that field. So this man stumbles across it, recognizes its value right away, realizes it's more valuable than everything that he has, so he gets rid of everything. He sells it so he can buy that field. And he is overjoyed to do it, and it's his. That's the first parable. The second parable is very similar, because repetition is the mother of all learning. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. So this time the picture is of a merchant looking for really nice pearls. Why pearls? Because back in that day, fine pearls were kind of like what fine diamonds are today, maybe even more so. The wife of the Roman emperor around that time loved to wear pearls in her hair and on her ears and on her neck and on her fingers to show everybody how rich and important she was. because only the rich could afford fine pearls. So here you have this merchant who knows fine pearls. He's even going out searching for them. And he is so astonished at this one pearl that he sells everything he has so that he can buy it. He realizes how valuable it is. Now that is some pearl. And he makes it his. He gets rid of anything and everything he can so that he can have that pearl. And he's overjoyed that he has it. Jesus says that that is the kingdom of heaven. It is the treasure in a field. It is the pearl of great price. And boy, is it. There is nothing that compares in this life to that treasure. The joy that those people have is a joy that you and I know very well. Think about it. With all of the fears and anxieties and insecurities we have in this life, name one thing that is more valuable than the fact that you have peace with God. With all of the guilt that we can feel that weighs heavy on our heart when we sin, name one thing that is more valuable than the fact that Jesus has taken away that guilt forever. With death in this world, and with all of the fear and the sadness and the sickness and the separation and all of the pain that comes with it. Name one thing in this life that is more valuable to you than the knowledge that you have eternal life given through Jesus. With all of these difficulties and threats and insecurities and fears, name one thing more valuable in your child's life than the fact of what Jesus did for them. You can't name one thing, can you? Not a single thing. The kingdom of heaven is the treasure in a field. It is the pearl of great price, and it's ours. The Holy Spirit has given it to you and me through faith. You and I possess Jesus and his work. We have him, and it makes us overjoyed. But there are times when you and I need to be reminded of that joy. There are times when you and I forget just how valuable Christ is to us. Sometimes we get complacent in our spiritual lives. Sometimes the pronouncement of the forgiveness of sins that you hear on Sundays can become stale. Do you ever go through the motions in worship? I know we have a lot of things to battle. We have to battle, you know, maybe a poor sleep the night before and some other things on our minds, but sometimes we just flat out go through the motions. And those prayers, those responses, those hymns that we sing, all of those old familiar ones, they get repetitive to us. We can even see them as cumbersome to do. Sometimes we focus so much on the style or the form of worship that we miss all of the little treasures and jewels that are there, whatever the form or style is. Sometimes the old familiar teachings that we know so well, all of those blessings I mentioned earlier, sometimes that can seem old and boring. And I haven't even mentioned earthly treasure yet. See, you and I have been given a lot of things in this life, similar to Monopoly money in Monopoly. It's really useful for this life, but a lot of times we value it more than what is real treasure, what actually has value. When we're doing that, it's like we're trading Jesus for Monopoly money. So there are a lot of times when you and I fail to recognize the true value that we have in Jesus. And that joy factor just isn't there as much as it was before. And I think part of the reason for that is that you and I get into this mode where we feel like, well, we have the kingdom, and that's good enough. We think that, as long as I have it, that's fine. I don't have to grow in it. But what you fail to realize if you think that is that if you're not moving forward in the kingdom, the devil's making sure you're moving backward. We forget how important it is to grow in our faith and how important it is to share it with others. Can you imagine not having the blessings that I mentioned earlier? And the only reason that you have that is because somebody shared that with you. Sometimes we fail to recognize Christ's true value in this life. Another part of that, another reason for that, is that we fail to remember just what God saved us from. And so to remind us of that, Jesus tells us a third parable. And in this parable, Jesus says, once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into a lake caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. So this parable is very similar to the one we talked about last week. After all, repetition is the mother of all learning. Repetition is the mother of all learning. So Jesus tells us this parable where it's a picture of a dragnet. And so in the dragnet, you'd have two boats that would be holding this big net, and they'd go off a little ways from shore, and they'd drag it through the water as they'd bring their boats up on shore. Now, a technique like this, you can imagine all of the kinds of fish that would be collected. And so the fishermen would sit down and they'd separate them. But there was only one criterion that mattered: good or bad? Is the fish good to eat or sell, or is it rotten and needs to be thrown away? This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. At the end of the age, there will be one criterion that matters: righteous or wicked? In other words, is someone covered in Christ's righteousness through faith or not? Believer, unbeliever. Recognizing Christ's value, not recognizing Christ's value. And the consequences are drastic. They will be thrown into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth forever. Have you ever wept in despair? Have you ever gnashed your teeth? I'll give you a small example of gnashing your teeth. Stubbing your toe? That hurts. I'll give you another bigger example. Have you ever seen in TV shows or movies, or maybe you've seen it in real life, where someone has a compound fracture and their friend needs to reset it? And so their friend puts that piece of wood in their mouth, and then they pull and reset the bone. That is gnashing of teeth. Imagine that pain times infinity, forever. Like I said, drastic consequences. Thankfully, we will never know that pain. Jesus bought a treasure. What did it cost? It cost him everything he had: his dwelling in heaven, his every moment in this life, his blood, his very life itself. It cost him weeping in despair as he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It cost him gnashing of teeth as the wrath of God upon every single sin from every single human being that's ever lived in the history of this world was set upon him. Pain times infinity. What did he buy that cost so much? You. He bought you. You are worth that much to him. For him, you are the treasure in a field. For him, you are the pearl of great price. You are the most valuable thing in this world to him, and it isn't even close. See, you and I think sometimes that when we have Jesus, that's all it means. But really, what that means is that Jesus has you. He bought you back from the dead. He bought you back from sin. And to do it gave him joy. You give him joy. So yeah, he is certainly the most valuable treasure you and I have. And a treasure this valuable is not meant to be kept to ourselves. So Jesus gives his disciples an encouragement. After all the other parables that Jesus had told, sometimes the disciples would ask for clarification and an explanation. This time, apparently, they didn't need that. Jesus, being a good teacher, asks them, "Have you understood all these things?" "Yes," they replied. Jesus said to them, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." See, Jesus didn't give up all he had just for you and me. He gave it up for everyone around us too. And he wants us to bring out all of those treasures to share with them. Have you ever thought to yourself when you're witnessing, I just don't know what to say when witnessing my faith? Sure you do. You have lots of treasures, old and new. Our storerooms are chock full. We have all of the old treasures that we know so well. The old familiar teachings, promise of forgiveness, peace with God, new life in the Holy Spirit. We have all the old familiar prayers and hymns and responses and creeds that we confess, all of it. Because repetition is the mother of all learning. You have all the old familiar teachings that you know from the Old Testament, written thousands of years ago. I pointed forward to the coming Christ. You have all of the teachings that you know from the New Testament, written thousands of years ago, that applied what Christ did to our lives and what it all means. Our storerooms are chock full of old treasures that we can bring out. We also have lots of new treasures that we add as we grow. All of the new things you learn in Bible study. Maybe it's a new hymn or something that you learn new in worship. All of those new applications of those old truths that make it relevant to our lives today. You and I have treasures old and new, and they're not meant to keep to ourselves. Now, Jesus is too valuable for that, so we share them with others too, so that they can see how much we are worth to Jesus and how much he is worth to us. So no, nothing compares. Nothing in this life compares. God gives us a lot of blessings in this life, and they're really useful for this life. But when you talk about something with real value, there's no comparison. And I feel like even this analogy is falling way short, don't you? I feel like this $20 bill doesn't do Jesus justice. But alas, they don't make an infinity dollar bill. The kingdom of heaven is the most valuable thing we have. And it isn't even close. Amen. Please stand. May that treasure that you have, that is yours, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen. We now join together to sing, "You Are God, We Praise You," on page 8.
Thank you.
You may be seated as we give our treasures to our Lord. This morning in our prayer of the church, we pray for all of those with health challenges, including Rick Covey, David Haugen, Bev Heinitz, Stan Kuhlman, Betty Martin, Erica Chapman, Clara Jackson, Ellie Ennis's cousin's husband Don, Joe Orbeck's mom Veda Rosenberger, and Tim and Val Brower's daughter Phoebe. We also pray for those celebrating anniversaries this week, including John and Pam Lervold celebrating 40 years of marriage, and also everyone celebrating birthdays this week. We pray the prayer of the church on page 10. Lord of power and grace, whose eyes are on the righteous and whose ears are open to their cry, hear the prayer of your people as we come now in thankfulness for the mercies that you pour down on us anew each day. We thank you for the gifts of your mighty providence. Make us mindful, O Lord, that you have provided us with life, breath, and being, and are the source of our daily bread. We praise you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent to be the Savior of the world. Grant that we may believe in him with all our hearts, learning from him the great truths of the kingdom to which he bore faithful witness. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may produce the fruits of righteousness. May he endow us with unwavering faith, that we might always be ready to do your will. We pray for the nations of the earth. Subdue terror and tyranny everywhere, and call forth leaders who acknowledge that you are Lord over all the earth. Bless our own land. May it ever follow that which is good and turn from all that which is wicked, that our people may prosper in uprightness and integrity. Hear, O Lord, our cry for those who are afflicted. Grant them health in body and soul, and save them for your mercy's sake. Be present in the lives of those celebrating birthdays this week. Guide them to trust even more in your promises of forgiveness, grace, and eternal life, which bring immense value to each new day. Lord, we thank you for the years of love you have given to those celebrating wedding anniversaries. Help them reflect the unity you have with your church as they cherish the unity they have in their marriage. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Guide and uphold us during our pilgrimage in this world, and bring us all to our heavenly home. Receive these petitions in the name of the Prince of Life, Jesus our Lord. Amen. We now join together in the hymn, Your Kingdom, O God, which is in number 755 in the supplement. Please stand.
In the morning, O Lord, I call to you. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer.
Lord, have mercy.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, your ears are always open to the prayers of your humble servants who come to you in Jesus' name. Teach us always to ask according to your will, that we may never fail to obtain the blessings you have promised. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to this new day. Defend us with your mighty power and grant that this day we neither fall into sin nor run into any kind of danger. And in all we do, direct us to what is right in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us praise the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless and keep you.
Amen.
The Lord's face ever shine upon you.
Amen.
The Lord grant you peace for all your days. You may be seated for our closing hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Good morning. It was a pleasure worshiping with you this morning as we praise our God for the treasures we have, so many. Please stick around for more treasures in Bible class and in Sunday school. Starting off, Sunday school is at 9:15. Bible classes start at 9:30. There are various options. We have Romans here in the sanctuary. Heart and Focus, I believe, is still going on in the Luther room. We also have coming up a number of other Bible studies where we can add new treasures to our storerooms. First of all, there's a Bible information class coming up September 24th. That'll be on Sunday evenings at 5 p.m. If you wanted to restore those old treasures that you know so well, or even add some new ones. That is Sunday evenings, 5 p.m., going all the way until December 17th. Child care will be provided. If you know anybody who's interested, who might be interested in membership at St. Mark's, invite them to this class. There's a sign-up sheet, actually, in the back there, if you wanted to sign up. But there's also an info sheet that can give you the basic info about the class as well. More treasures. Dad's breakfast is coming this Friday, again, at 6 a.m. at Black Bear Diner. More treasures. There's Mom's Study coming up. It's going to be one of the offerings here in between services, starting at 9:30. That'll start up September 10th into the fall. So please sign up for that as well. There's a sign up in the back for that. More treasures. School opening chapel service is next Sunday at 4 p.m. Please come in and support the beautiful work that God is doing through the school. There is also going to be a meal to come, so not just heavenly treasures, but also some good earthly treasures as well. Luther movie tickets are on sale. I don't know if there's a table today, but if there's not, you can always go online. There's information in that in the weekly update, so grab one of those. The Luther movie is October 9th, and we need to sell, I think, 94 tickets. And I think we're halfway-ish there. So if you think that you might be able to come, I believe it's at 6:30 p.m., October 9th. Buy some tickets online so that we can have that theater and reserve it. Crossroads Phase 3 is coming up. So if you wanted to continue thinking about helping to fund that, put that on your hearts. But also a big, big Sunday coming up, October 22nd, and then also Monday, October 23rd. This is going to be Crossroads Phase 3. It's going to be listening sessions. So you're going to have a shortened worship service, I think about 25 minutes or so, and then listening sessions. Please, please, please come to this. Very, very important for the future of the congregation. That's where you can make your voice heard and kind of give your ideas and thoughts for moving forward. So October 22nd and 23rd, Crossroads Phase 3. There's going to be a new member reception with cake coming up after the second service. So if you wanted to go grab some lunch or something and come back for cake, you can do that to welcome Larry and Sue Dilgard and Robert Smith into our fellowship. And now, without further ado, we will watch the Wells Connection. That is all set for us.